Jesus. Oh, God, we're helpless, but we're pursuing you, Lord. We're pursuing you. We're pursuing you. You may be seated. I read earlier tonight, just not too long ago, where Peter's talking to those disciples, and he's telling them to be careful of the error of the wicked. Remember? Lest they fall from their own steadfastness. That doesn't sound like once saved, always saved. It means you can fall. You can lose this. And he's saying, beware. But grow. But grow. But mature. He says, in grace. Get more of it. More grace. Grow in grace. These people in the book of Acts, the reason they were able to pray and see the house shaken. That's not the only time that happened in the book of Acts. It happened in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Also, when Paul and Silas prayed and worshiped God in jail, and there was an earthquake that opened up the doors. It was a customized earthquake. All it did was open doors and take chains off feet. Conveniently, the roof stayed up. And all the prisoners heard them. There was a shaking going on. And that facility in chapter 4 was shaken. And they spake the word of God with boldness because a great grace was upon them all. I would submit to you that if you and I are going to be great in these last days, we're not going to be great because of us. We're going to be great because of great grace. And he says, grow in grace. Get more of grace. You following my thought? In a minute, I'm going to define grace to you so you can get more of it. If you knew how to get more of it, would you want more of it? If grace could help you sell all what you have. Now, brother, we're entering into a building program. What if I said to my congregation, how many believe the word of God? Yeah, I believe the word of God. How many want to see this building built? Yeah, I want to see that building built. Okay, I found a financial plan to build a building. How many want to know what it is? Yeah. Sell everything you got. How's that? Oh, we don't want a building anymore. For people to be willing to sell everything. This guy, he don't mind. He's saying, amen, praise the Lord. Yes, sir. I'll sell everything I got. I ain't got nothing. So this side's cheering on the other side. Yeah, brother, that's what you ought to do. Sell everything you got and share it with us. We love you. This side really needed some help with that. You what? But great grace, brother. Great. Upon them and help that church be what people cannot be on their own. Because something was on them. Great grace was upon them. That means it was on them. It was something that could be felt. It was something that could be sensed. And it had an effect on them to do things that normal people can't do. You don't want to be normal, my brother. Normal people are going to hell. You want to be much more than normal. You want great grace on you to help you do what normal people can't do. If we want a Book of Acts revival, Brother Churchill,
first off, we better hurry up. A, Jesus is coming. B, me and you are dying. We better hurry up here. The sun is going down.
But if I'm going to have that kind of revival, I think I need that kind of grace. Does this sound right to you? And so the Apostle Peter is urging his disciples to grow in it, grow in it, grow in it. And we can see somebody, the Apostle Paul particularly, growing in grace. When he said, well, in that 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he tells us about a man, whether he was in the body, he didn't know, whether he was out of the body, he didn't know, who went to the third heaven. And he saw things that were not lawful for him to tell. Now, it's supposed that he was speaking about himself. He didn't want to just come out and say, I went to heaven. He made it, spoke in the third person. I knew a man. Went to the third heaven. Now, where is the third heaven? The first heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven is space. Third heaven is where God lives. And it's supposed and presumed when Paul was stoned at Iconia, I believe it was, it's presumed that he was dead. And it's thought that logically that would have been the time when God took him up, up, up into heaven. And what did those saints do? They prayed for him. And he had to come back. What were you thinking? If that ever happens again, don't pray for me. And so, now listen, I know some folks, if they get a blessing, they walk home thinking they're big and bad. Well, this guy went to heaven, and it's not hard for us to think he might have had a little problem with pride. I mean, if you've been to the third heaven and you took a peek up there, you're kind of ahead of everybody else. And so he said, and he told us himself in this verse, chapter or verse 7, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure, speaking of kind of getting a proud head, a big head about it, he said, through the abundance of my revelations, there was given to me, everybody say it was given to him, given to me a thorn in the flesh. And then he gives us an indicator of what that was, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, I got this really big blessing. Chances are I might have a pride problem, so I got this really good beating. Kind of kept everything even. Is that about right? Is it? I don't think I'm exaggerating this. And that's why sometimes in our biggest blessings come our most serious trials. Just to kind of keep us evened out. We got to learn how to handle that. So he decides to pray. Yeah. And he says in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me.
Yeah, this is good.
He's focused on pain.
Yes.
He's focused on what he doesn't like. And he's praying, take this away. Please. Hurts. Isn't that what we do? It's what I do. If I'm going through a trial, if I'm going through a painful, difficult time, God, take this away. God, how many's ever prayed that and it didn't leave? Nobody? I'm the only one? Three? Okay. As a matter of fact, I've been in places, not only did he not take away the pain, he didn't even talk to me. Are you out there? There. You know, know, when God doesn't want to talk, guess what he doesn't do? He don't talk. Well, that's a bizarre thing. So he's praying these three times, take this away. And then God shows up after the third time. You know the story. I think you have it on the screen. He goes on to say in verse 9, and he said, God finally spoke, and he said, my grace is sufficient. One translation says, my grace is enough. You want me to take the pain away? I say, my grace is sufficient, and it's enough to carry you through with the pain. Now, for anybody that really wants to go to the second thing, you listen very closely. If you don't, you can take a time out, go to the bathroom, whatever, come back in a few minutes. But what he was saying and what God was trying, see, Paul wanted him to take the thorn away. If God had done that, all he would have had, all God would have had, was Paul without a thorn. If he leaves the thorn in there, he's got a better Paul. By leaving the thorn there, but by giving him sufficient grace to handle it. That went right over your head, I think. I'm telling you, when God is wanting to help you move up a step or two, he may allow some painful experiences in your life, but don't fret. Get your eye off your pain and get your eye on Jesus and let God increase your grace.
Is that awesome?
Let God give you a grace increase, because he doesn't want you without a thorn. He wants a better you. And he's willing, watch this, he's willing to risk losing you to get a better you. He's risking you get an attitude. He's risking you turn your back on him. He's risking you won't trust him. But if you do trust him, he's taking you to places you could never get to without the thorn and the grace. It's the thorn and the grace that's going to keep us moving, moving, moving. Come on, where are you? Who are those people that really mean business? It'll keep you moving toward that goal. I really can, Brother Churchill, go to that second number if I can learn how to get enough grace to carry the burden that God is having me carry. Oh, I think we ought to praise the Lord right now. There's revelation going on right now. God is wanting to get you to a better place, Paul. He wants more than just a guy without a thorn. He wants a great man of God out of you. You may be seated. Grace, Churchill, was available the whole time. Every time he prayed, take the thorn away, grace was available, but he was so focused on his thorn and his pain. Isn't that like us? Oh, when we got pain, that's all we can think about. That's all we can talk about. That's all we just think and, you know, take it away. Take it away. Words are taking it away. Are you out there? Oh, take it away. Oh. And the whole time, sufficient grace was available. But he couldn't see it because he was so focused on his pain. And Paul grasped it. And that's what I'm hoping happens to you. He grasped it. He said this. Well, let me finish what God said. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, my anointing, my glory,
My power is made perfect in weakness. I'm not asking you to come like this.
Come on.
I want you to come like this. I want you to come in your weakness. And so the thorn, are you old enough to understand what I'm talking about? How old are you? 15? You ain't old enough to understand what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you anyway. Are we taping this? Okay. All right. Yes, no, maybe? Yes? As far as we know.
He says we are.
Okay, so if he's, we're not, it's his fault. Okay. You're in a bad spot, sir. Okay. All right. Where was I at here? Something about grace, wasn't it?
Yeah, is he big enough? Is he old enough to?
Yeah. All right.
You're telling him anyway.
Yeah, right. I can't remember what I wanted to tell him. See what I mean, bro? We don't have much time. And so, he doesn't want you to be strong. Be strong, brother. Be strong. You lost your business. Your wife died of cancer. Be strong. I don't want to be strong when that happens. I want to cry. I'm allowed to cry. I don't have to be strong. What's with him? He's being strong. Didn't his wife die? Yeah, but look how strong he is. It looks like he doesn't care. It's not that he doesn't care. He's just being strong. Here, check me out. Strong. That's not what's strength. It's walking with God. So, God allows thorns to put you in touch with how weak you are. You see, he just came from the third heaven. The real temptation there is thinking, I'm pretty big and bad. No, let's give you a little thorn here to remind you, put you back in touch with how weak you are. There's nothing. Am I doing okay here? Are you all right? Are you about done? Or can we go a little more? I know it's like 99 degrees in here, but what's up with that, by the way? And so God allows some thorns in our lives. I don't deserve this. That's right. It's not about Pharisees. It's not about Pharisees. It's this world. It's not fair. God ain't fair. Did you know that? Can you handle this? You're 15. God ain't fair. If God was fair, he'd have never saved you. Because it's not fair. He had to take your sins on him so you could be free. He's not fair. Aren't you glad he's not fair?
Come on. Hallelujah. Come on.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
So God allows some things in our lives. Sometimes that come out of the blue to get us in touch with our weakness and our need. And God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you can see how weak you are, then you're open for me to be strong in your life because you need me. Now, we always need him. We just don't always know it. So he helps us with that. So we can know we're weak. Oh, I hope I'm not losing you here. Because when you're weak, then that's what Paul said. Look what the rest of it he said. Now, after Jesus told him that my strength is made perfect in your weakness, then Paul says this. Most gladly. His attitude totally changes. He's still got the thorn, but he's not belly aching anymore. He says, I most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now notice, he doesn't say I'm going to glory because of my infirmities.
No, no.
He says, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm not going to say, yippee, I'm weak as can be. He's saying, yippee, even though I'm as weak as can be, God is strong. I'm glorifying God in my weakness. I'm glorifying God even though I realize I'm nothing. Amen. But he's everything. And so I can see my weakness and I'm going to glorify God anyhow. And then God can make us strong. His strength, not our strength. His strength, my brothers. Oh, let's give God high praise right now. If you're getting this, would you give him some praise? Now, would you put your hand on that brother's shoulder one more time and let it flow out. Let grace flow out. Let it flow out. Haramba baba bahakashatai. Hilo ramba baba hakashaya. Oh, come to him in your weakness and let him be strong in you. Don't come trying to be strong. Come being weak. Oh, that the power of Christ. I'm going to glorify God so that the power of Christ can rest on me. Oh, I can walk in a deeper anointing. I can walk in deeper power. I can walk in deeper influence. I can move toward that second number. Woo! Glory. Glory. Oh, God. Horondolo mohoshai. You know what? When God's got a thorn in you, don't start complaining, start rejoicing. When God's got some pain in your life that won't go away, not thanking him for the pain, but just thanking him for being gracious. While you've got the pain, he's going to put more grace in your life. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You may be seated. Paul got it. He grasped it. He said, oh my goodness, how could I have missed that? I know why. I was belly aching all the time about my trial. And I missed it. But he got it. He grasped it. And then he grasped it. And he said in the next verse, verse 7, excuse me, in verse 10, he said, therefore, since I've got it, still got the thorn, my attitude's totally different. Because I'm in touch with my weaknesses, and I got more flow in my life than I've ever had before because he's got grace, corresponding grace with corresponding pain. Oh, I'm hoping you're getting that. Therefore, I take pleasure. Paul's finally got off his rocker. He takes pleasure in infirmities. He takes pleasure in reproaches. He takes pleasure in necessities. He takes pleasure in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. How about that? I glory. Oh, when I got a problem, I just praise the Lord. When I got difficulties, I just thank God. When I've got pain, I'm just going to praise the Lord anyhow. Because when I'm weak, when I can see I'm weak, then I can be strong. Oh. You may be seated. So he grasped it. I'm hoping that you're grasping it. Now, I'm almost done. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it sounded like an appropriate thing to say. If you looked, and preachers, you're excluded from this. I don't want you answering this question. If you looked in a strong, how many brethren know what a Strong's Concordance is? Okay. That's a big old thick book. It's got every word that's in the Bible in it and tells you where every scripture is that word is being used. Is in the Bible. It's cool. Look up the word love. Love. L-U-V. It'll show you all the L-U-V's in the whole Bible. Where they are. Then you can flip over in the back. And it's got the definitions. Because right next to L-U-V is a number. 666. Let's say for example. I'm sure that's not the number. And you look up the number, then it'll tell you in the Greek what it means. All right? So you could get, you know, maybe a deeper meaning or a more light on a subject by looking up in the Greek. Or if it's in the Old Testament, you're looking up that word in the Old Testament to tell you in the Hebrew. Now, I want you to think with me for a little bit. And I want you to imagine we've looked up the word grace. And we found the number and we flipped in the back and we looked for grace. And we find that word grace. And we find out what the Greek word for grace means. And I would like to hear from some folks here today what you would guess it means. Da, 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 da. Yes, sir. I'm sorry? Unmerited love. No. No, that was good though. But I was looking for, or supposing you were going to say, unmerited favor. You ever heard that? And what that means is undeserved favor. God favors us even though we don't deserve it. But that's still not the first. Actually, that's the second definition. Anybody want to take a shot? Yes, sir. Say it one more time. I'm sorry. God's purpose. That's a good one. Good shot. Not the right answer, though. But that was good. And it can mean so many things. Now, are there any preachers that like take a shot? All right. I'm going to show you on the screen, and I would like you to write it down, if you can write. If you cannot write by the tape that supposedly he's recording. We don't know. As far as we know. All right, let's look to the screen. This is what the first definition is in the Strong's Concordance for the word grace. And I don't know if you can all see it. I'll read it with you and for you. Grace, number one, the divine influence upon the heart of a person. And the reflection of grace in the life of that person, including gratitude. Grace is divine influence. Whenever God is influencing you, that's grace. It is unmerited favor. It's merciful. But the essence, I believe, of grace is influence. By influence, you were saved. By grace, are you saved? God influenced you. He opened your mind to his reality. He moved on you. There was a time you were sitting in a pew or in a chair or in your living room. And God had been influencing you, drawing you to himself. No man can come unto me. Except the Father. Influence him. Draw him. And you finally got to a place so close to him. You couldn't stand being in his presence without repenting of your sins. He drew you close enough for you to see your ungodliness. and how it looked to him, and you repented of your sins. He influenced you to do that. He didn't make you do it, but he influenced you. And you caved. You surrendered. Aren't you glad you did? You didn't have to. You could have said no. Plenty do.
Yeah, they do.
But you said yes. You let him soften your heart. And then he said, look over here. Not only are you supposed to repent, but you're supposed to be baptized. Not just any old way, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And you submitted to that because God influenced you. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And every time he influenced you, that was grace. That was a space of grace. And if you'd have stopped way back there in the process and cut it off, you'd have never been here tonight. Because a space is only open so long. And Jezebel blew it. And then he influenced you by his great mighty power to yield to his baptism of his spirit and enabled you to worship him on a level that you couldn't do by yourself. He influenced you. I can remember it. I'll never forget the night I got the Holy Ghost. God was influencing. Influencing me. Won't take the time to tell it, but when I went to that first service, my little hippie wife and me on the back row, we came with a bundle of clothes under our arms because a preacher had been to our house 3 days ago, knocking on doors. Little did he know that God had been influencing us. That we were seeking God's will. He shows up. He was the squarest dude I ever saw. This is 1971. He had short hair. Establishment. That's right. I mean, I'm a long-haired hippie. Kind of guy. Is that a pretty good impersonation? You know why I was good at that? I was good at that. Anyway, when he left, we made up our mind. This is what God's been leading us to. Influencing. My wife opened the door for him, and I was in the back when he knocked, and she said, Ronnie. You know why she said that? That's my name. You couldn't put that together? She said, Ronnie, the preacher is here. And I said to myself, we've had lots of preachers here. It was a new apartment complex. Why did she say the preacher is here? She should have said a preacher is here. It struck me. There was a little touch of influence there. A little influence. A little space. And I thought about that. The preacher. So here's this shiny faced, short hair, had a coat and a tie. A little thin tie. Such a square. Did you feel like a symbol? Kind of solo was important at that moment. Anyway. So, just kidding. Anyway, put in another CD. Anyway, this guy, weird, straight,
he shined. He had a glow. Cool. Influence. Influence. Started telling us about speaking in tongues. Cool. Speaking in tongues. Tell me more. Speaking in tongues. Wow. And being baptized in the name of Jesus. He's showing us to us. And we'd had Mormons come by. We almost jumped on that bandwagon. But there was just something not there. I mean, who wants to go to a religion that the founder's name is Joe Smith? Well, what's the pizzazz of that? You know what I'm saying? You got, with all that stuff you made up, you couldn't have come up with a better name? What's wrong with you people?
You threw in the polygamy side of it thinking that would hook us. That's funny.
So anyway, by the time the 3-hour Bible study was over, we had committed. I looked at my wife, don't get any ideas. And I said, baby, I think I can't even look at you when I say that. Baby. Oh, baby. Cracking myself up. I think this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we... You see, this was between Christmas and New Year's. In October, I wanted to move. I asked God, I want to move to Arizona. I just didn't like where I was. And the voice of the Lord came to me and said, don't. Wait. I have something for you. In the new year. I remember that. I said to my wife, maybe this is what God was talking about. It's between Christmas and New Year's. He's got something new for us. Grace. Nudge. Influence. Amen. So we went down to that Pentecostal church. Crazy, crazy people. This is an amazing show.
Cool.
I didn't know it, but everybody knew we were coming. And they were hooping and hollering and carrying on. I didn't know why they did all that, but I sure was loving what I was feeling while they were doing it. I was on the edge of my seat. Because I was coming to get baptized in the name of Jesus and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because grace was upon me. And grace is upon you. And God wants to increase. All right, you may be seated. So I went up front, and I'm going to give you a second chance here. And Pastor Wright said to me, Ron. All right, now,
why did he say that?
That's my name. All right. Come on, we're moving up that ladder right over there. All right. He said, the Holy Ghost is all over you. I believe the first words you speak will be speaking in other tongues. That sounded good to me. So I lifted my hand, closed my eyes, and immediately saw a pitcher, like a pitcher of water. And it started tilting. I wasn't saying a word over me. And the water came down and splashed, but instead of bouncing off me, it went down inside me. And it kept pouring and pouring and pouring. And it got right up to here. And I started speaking in tongues for about 10 minutes. Oh, hakat kanama hakashata. Do you remember when you got the Holy Ghost? It was divine influence. It was divine influence. It was God's grace. Does that make sense? Oh, God, God. You may be seated. Long story short, got baptized. I remember walking out the front door. We came in the north gate, but we went out the south gate. We didn't go out the same way we came in. We left the sins of a lifetime behind us, and now we're the receptacles and tabernacles of God. And we're walking down the stairs with our wet hair and our new clothes and the wet clothes under our arm. And the Holy Ghost spoke and said, "This is what you've been looking for. You don't need the drugs anymore. You don't need the paraphernalia anymore. You don't need the incantations anymore." And my wife and I went home and put all that in the dumpster. I've never had a desire for it since. Because of grace. Grace. Now, great grace was upon them. In other words, you and I can get more grace by understanding that we can ask Him to influence us more. If you ask for Him to wind up the influence, He'll start winding up the influence. If you ask God to wind it down, He will wind it down. You're in control. So here's how I see this. I need to influence God in prayer to influence me more.
Come on. Come on.
I've got to seek God with tears to get Him to influence me more, to help me become this person that I want to be here. Peter said it, grow in grace. Let God be more of an influence on you today than He was yesterday. Get your heart in a place where you're more willing to be obedient in some areas that right now you're not so willing to be. Let God increase, grow in the amount of influence God is having in your life so you can be going this way, not that way. You know why people backslide? They turn off God's influence by hardening their heart, by being stiff-necked and stubborn, and they kill God's influence. And they begin to go this way. Because if God took His hand off of you, my brother, it wouldn't take very long for you to become the person you don't want to be. Am I right? So He said, grow in grace. And if we can grow in our ability to let God influence us, nudge us, move us, maybe we can have great grace. Maybe we can be the people that we can't be without Him influencing us. Can you see a gap between where you are and where you really would like to be? Is there anybody in here that's thought, gee, I thought I'd be farther along than this by now? Maybe you need a little kick of grace, of influence. Maybe God's trying to influence you right now. Because right now, this is where the stubbornness and grace start having a wrestling match. When something in me wants to give in, something in me wants to hold on to control. If you're going to get more influence, you've got to have less control. You've got to give up some more control so God can give you more influence in his life. That means I've got to break myself down before him. Humble myself. Surrender myself. Influence God to influence me so that I can be the man he intended for me to be. And I really, really want to be that. Because he's been so good to me. God has been so good to me. Oko shara maria tala moho ko soto. Oritaya mahakasho. Oko satia la mahakaya bahasi. Oh, Jesus. Let's stand together. Can I ask you this question? What is influencing you? What is influencing you? There's all kinds of influences in this world. Brother Churchill and I were talking about Ted Haggard today. Pastor to 14,000 members. Wasn't apostolic, but he was something. He had some kind of experience with God. 14,000 member church, and he's railing on homosexuals. He was very loud about being against same-sex marriages. He was the head of the religious right. He's the president of the evangelical organization of a million members. And his male prostitute lover saw him on TV and recognized who he was, railing on homosexuals while he was having a homosexual affair with this prostitute, male prostitute. And he turned him in because he was such a hypocrite. What influences got in his life that took him so far away from the intended goal? There's influences out there, brethren. Ungodly influences. There's all kinds of influences that deal with our minds and our hearts, trying to nudge us away from God. Whatever room you're giving to any of those influences, you need to cast them out of your life and cleanse your hearts. And I need to cleanse my heart of things I've allowed to influence me that compete with the influence of the Holy Ghost. Who's in charge here? I want God to be in charge. I want God to be in charge. I wish the first three rows could take your chairs and turn them around and face them the other way. First three rows, could you do that? As a matter of fact, could everybody take your chair and just turn it around and face the other way? and then turn back and face me.
Could you put yourself in a position where the chair is in front of you, not behind you, but in front of you, facing you? In other words, just go back a row. That's all. Just go back a row. That's right. I think that's right. That's right. Right. Facing me. Here's what we're going to do, brethren. Right in front of you. Right in front of you is your altar. That chair is your altar. I'm going to get a chair. It's going to be my altar. I'm going to crucify some flesh. I'm going to crucify some influences that I've entertained. I'm going to cleanse my heart and cleanse my mind. And I'm going to ask God to be a chief influencer, the chief influencer in my life, so that I can move up that ladder and go from a 5 to a 7, or a 6 to an 8, or a 7 to a 9. Can we cry out? Can we cry out and ask God to influence us? Oh God, let's kneel at the altar, shall we? Oh God, we repent of our sins, God. Cleanse us, oh God. Cleanse us, oh God. Increase. We want more grace. He giveth us more grace. He giveth us more grace. Alamaranda la la baranda la 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 bahaya. Oh, Rodololobo Sharabaha Kashataya. Jesus, 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 Jesus.